This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, this year has certainly a big election year for ballot proposals in our state. Come November 6th, we'll decide the fate of five proposals and one referendum. So today and all next week, we'll look at these ballot proposals. What's in them? What would they do to our state constitution and laws? And who are the people and the groups pushing for and against them? We begin today with a look at proposals 2 and 4, both involving labor groups and issues of unionization. And Michigan Public Radio Network's Lansing Bureau Chief Rick Pluta is here to help us sort out what's in these two proposals. And Rick, I have to say, I have heard more people say, I don't understand these proposals, largely because of the absolute flood of TV commercials. Sometimes you'll see a pro-commercial followed instantly by an anti-commercial, and somehow they both make sense. So let's tackle 2 and 4. What's in each?
Proposal 2, the really short version, is it enshrines collective bargaining, the right to collective bargaining in the state constitution. It was a response by labor unions to a lot of things that we've been seeing coming out of Lansing by the Republican majorities there and the Republican governor that got right down into, you know, dealing with things like how unions collect political contributions or dues from their members. Now, it doesn't really have an effect on unions and private companies like, you know, the United Auto Workers
Sure.
and the car companies, because those are already protected by federal law. So, you know, really, you know, where the game is at in terms of Proposal 2 is public employee unions. So once you get past the right to collectively bargain, there's also a lot of other things in there that seek to, you know, contain or even reverse you know, one of the counts as many as 170 laws that have been passed dealing with, you know, various aspects of labor agreements between employees and employers.
Well, now, don't public and private sector workers already have collective bargaining rights in Michigan?
Well, sure. They have collective bargaining rights because we are not a right-to-work state.
Right.
And so what this is supposed to do is preempt a right-to-work law in Michigan, and then it also goes beyond that and says, and by the way, some of these other limitations that you've been creating around union rights, you know, for example, collecting dues, collecting political contributions, it also gets at that. And that gets to the ads that you're talking about. You know,
yes.
I think one of the most famous ones or infamous ones is the claim that it would make it easier for child molesters and people with drinking and drug issues to work in public schools.
Yes.
And certainly it would potentially affect those laws that have been passed to enact that. I guess the question is, you know, do you believe that a school board isn't going to bargain for really tough sanctions on people who are like that?
Sure.
So really, it opens up so many things. Now, I mean, for example, one that comes to mind, and I haven't gotten a great answer on this, and we're not going to have great answers on a lot of this.
I've gathered that.
Because once the amendment is passed, everything's still got to be litigated. Anytime someone tries to say that this law no longer applies because of the amendment, it'll very likely go to court. So we're going to see if this passes a lot of litigation on what applies and what doesn't.
So the wording is nebulous.
Well, this year we have a lot of constitutional amendments that really get quite technical. And when we talk about Proposal 4, certainly that's one of the ones that we're talking about. But, you know, there's supposed to be the broad parameters. And amendments are typically what's called self-executing, meaning no other action is required to make them effective. But there's still a whole lot of arguing about what they mean.
Okay.
And that's going to be true of all the amendments.
And talking about, too, when you see about these commercials, they're incredibly confusing. Firefighters, breathing apparatus. Well, of course, who doesn't want their local firefighter to have all the gear
he or she
needs?
One of the arguments that's always been made about collective bargaining, and that's true in everything from police and firefighters to teachers, is one of the things you bargain about is working conditions. You know, if you're a teacher, you might have your union bargaining about
class size. Sure.
If you're a firefighter or some other public safety officer, you might be bargaining for training. And what they're saying is, especially the public safety officers are saying, and in this case, we're bargaining for our lives and safety against people who sometimes are just looking for the least costly way of doing something.
Fair enough. And you say, well, of course, who wouldn't be for that? And then you see an ad against with a firefighter and you are just left with your head spinning.
Well, look, I mean, there aren't that many universal truths out there, but one of them is you should not base your voting decision on what you see in TV ads.
And they certainly are trying. And speaking of ads, we'll talk about Proposal 4. Who wouldn't want sweet grandma to have the best home health care? So talk Proposal 4.
Proposal 4 is an effort by unions, the SEIU in particular, to get its members into the Medicaid-funded home health care assistant business and do it by basically having the state set up the union, even though – and it says right in there that these workers would have the same rights as civil service employees, but they are not to be considered public employees. And so the rub is it's a state-created union. Now, what – the union focuses on is the registry, that this creates a registry that people have to have background checks and they have to be trained and qualified before they go into the registry, and that it's basically a wise consumer choice question, that you're creating a registry where people can go and search for people that you know are going to do a good job at this. Now, very often, you know, the people who are compensated for this kind of care are family members.
Correct.
Does that mean they have to join the union? So, you know, there's all of that out there. And, you know, one of the big questions that gets asked, the SEIU is doing this because they couldn't get what they wanted out of the legislature. And so the opponents of this, which are, you know, largely, you know, business groups, you know, efficient government groups, you know, things like that, are saying that just because you don't get what you want out of the legislature, does that mean you should get to lock it into the state constitution?
Basically doing a big end zone run and trying to lock it into the constitution. And the point of
But the people have to vote for it.
So they have to decide. And the registry, by the way, would be created by dues-paying members, because isn't that what the critics are saying? Isn't this a chance to fatten union coffers, if you will, by dues?
Look, it's no secret that the union movement has been on the wane and they're looking for new places to go. And the healthcare industry has been a prime target. And this is a segment of that industry.
It's something that I have heard asked, and people can't figure it out from the commercials or even from the reading. How would life change for anyone in Michigan, your average citizen, should either of these pass?
Well, certainly you would see a lot of things, a lot of issues relitigated on the labor front. And if you are a union member or, you know, someone who believes in that, who thinks that it ought to be, you know, easier for unions to do things like, you know, collect dues, and that these ought to be issues that are bargained between the employer and the employee and not governed by acts of the legislature, especially Republican legislators who are essentially hostile to organized labor, then you're probably, you know, sympathetic to it. If you believe that Michigan should be a right-to-work state, certainly Proposal 2 is not your cup of tea. Certainly, if you think that it's okay for the government to step in and, you know, set these tighter parameters around what unions can and cannot do, especially in the public environment, then you're going to take a different take on it. There is a home health care worker registry, you know, with or without the Prop 4 amendment, but it's not as extensive or expansive as what's there. And if you're searching for someone to do that kind of work, that you don't have someone in mind to do it, certainly it would be a place to go and shop for it. You know, the question is, do you really think that that needs to be in the state constitution? And does it have to be done via a, you know, what's essentially a state-sponsored union?
Overall, would you say, you've been covering politics a long time, is this one of the more confusing years for ballot proposals for voters?
You know, ballot proposals are always confusing. People put them on because they have a vested interest in it, and people oppose them for the same reason, and they cherry pick their claims that political ads are not designed to be illuminating.
We have to remember that, because I think the public has this idea that, yes, well, watch this and I'll be enlightened.
No, no. Political ads are not meant to be informative.
So we'll keep that in mind. Well, thank you, Rick, for helping us kind of sort out proposals 2 and 4.
Kind of.
Kind of.
Hopefully, if it hasn't been less confusing, at least the confusion is more interesting.
There we go. As always, Michigan Public Radio Network's Lansing Bureau Chief Rick Pluta. Thanks for talking with us, Rick.
My pleasure.